Oh, we're starting. Hello, it's Friday the 25th, and we're dangerous. The levels at the Level 1 Studios are dangerously spooky.
But they're not as cold as you might think.
It's pretty cold.
It's not.
It's not
cold.
It's like 68 in here.
It is not even 68.
Oh, I guarantee. It's high 60s.
No.
What's the remote say? Hand me the remote. Let's see. We have the technology.
It's 313.
Oh, that's the
time. I know.
There's a button here.
It's very hot, actually.
Oops.
72.
No, that's the... Oh, no, it is exactly 68.
Wow.
Don't turn it on.
Let's talk about security news. Maybe that'll warm you up, Krista, because I know you love it.
I know.
I know you're on fire for it. And let's start out with ATMs. How excited would you be if you were just walking down the street and the ATM just started spitting cash everywhere?
Malware that spits out cash out of ATMs has spread across the world. You know, if this happened to me, I would be concerned that I would be accused of a crime if I picked up the cash.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch it. I'd be scared.
You know there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like, no, it was like the ATM was just spitting cash into the street. I mean, yeah, I took the cash that was spit into the street, but...
I mean, yeah, I stole it, but...
Guaranteed.
Is that stealing, though?
It would be considered that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. You would not get away with that, so...
I'll just not pick it up, then. Somebody else can have it. I don't care.
Pro criminal tip. At least wrap something around your head. But you've probably already been on camera by the time you got in within vision of that ATM.
Well, they use your phones now, right? Like...
A good point, yeah.
Google asked for your review. What did you think of the bank that spits out money on the street?
And if you have your phone on you and you steal that money or you pick it up, you say to yourself, well, you know what? I'm not worried about that because I won't let them unlock my phone. Well, hang on.
Samsung, anyone's thumbprint can unlock a Galaxy S10 phone. Whoops.
So they have, this is the one that has the acoustic...
It's like acoustic through the screen fingerprint sensor.
So it turns out it's fine. That works. Of course they tested it. And you're thinking, well, they didn't test it. No, they tested it. What they didn't test was cheap phone holders and screen protectors, which apparently have weird effects on acoustic properties.
Can't use a screen protector.
So some woman, I don't know how she figured this out, but she figured out her left thumb was unlocking her phone. She was like, wait a minute. I know something about thumbprints, and those shouldn't match. So then she let her husband try it. Sure enough, they kept testing. Everybody got in.
Neat.
Bad idea. Samsung has released a press release, and they're like, take off your screen protector. Oh, God.
What have
you
done?
If someone steals your phone, all they have to do is put a screen protector on it. I mean...
Well, no, I think they trained their finger... with the screen protector on it. So it's just a big black nondescript blob.
Oh, you still have to be part of the training process?
Yeah.
Hmm, that's interesting. You know, someone should test and see if you can do it the other way.
I don't think you can, but that would be a good test.
Level 1 investigates.
How long ago was Pokemon Go?
Like 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
I bet it's been longer. It's that time dilation thing.
I don't know.
Maybe you might be right. Maybe 2 years.
2 years sounds about right. I think some people still play it, but it's not nearly as popular.
Oh, it's super popular in Asia. In Taiwan, there's still like the dudes on the bicycle with like 12 phones.
So, yeah. It's still going fairly strong. And, of course, the initial popularity dropped off. But they're still getting constant use. And you might be thinking, isn't that a lot of, you know, servers that they're keeping up? How are they paying for all this? Is it the microtransactions? Nope.
The creators of Pokemon Go have mapped the world, but now they're mapping you. Kotaku.
Is that surprising? Like,
so yeah, they're selling data. What a surprise. And there's a new one. Was it Harry Potter? Yeah, Wizards Unite. So there's a new Pokemon Go, but it's Harry Potter related.
Oh, thank goodness that J.K. Rowling's still able to cash in.
I'm not sure.
She actually does a lot of charity work with her money, but still.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she gives them, what, 0.00002%?
She's given away enough that she's not on the billionaire list anymore.
Wow. That's good because she doesn't belong there. Anyway.
Still richer than either of us will ever be. But
it's Niantic also made this Harry Potter game and 150 million users, which is less than Pokemon. So it's not that much money in Rowling's pocket. But same deal. They figured out that seeing where you go and how you interact with the environment and what you do with your phone is super valuable if they can sell it. And that's what they're doing.
In a move that surprised no one. But wait, they weren't doing that the entire time? What was wrong with them? They really were NSA plants.
I think it took them a while to figure out. Because selling data is just really catching on in the main, you know, like, Google's been on that game for years. But the rest of the world, they had to catch up. One thing that the security people tell you to do these days, you got to do two-factor, right? Got to do two-factor. It is unacceptable.
And two-factor with an app, not a text message, because they can steal your phone number.
And two-factor, yeah, it's inconvenient, but, I mean, it's just a little inconvenience. What could go wrong?
Multi-factor authentication issue hitting North American Azure Office 365 users. Yeah, multi-factor authentication issues are impacting a number of Microsoft Azure and Office 365 users. The only news here, really, is that this is still ongoing.
I had a series of updates on this article.
Yeah.
So, update one.
Oh, it's up. It's down. It's I don't up. Know what. Oh, we fixed it. Oh, it's down again.
What day was this?
This started last week, technically.
18th. So on the 18th, yeah. The last update was 11:20 a.m. And they're saying that we'll let you know. Stay tuned.
And then it was like, oh, yeah, there's an issue. It's like, oh, you think?
Oh, these headlines, they make me so sad.
This is a dark story.
Not just because of the darkness of humanity and, you know, the horribleness in which we must live. We've always lived, but we didn't always know about it. But now the news cycle, where you can actually see the darkness, which is bad. But also, because of this horrible darkness, we lose all of our privacy.
Huge child porn ring busted as authorities cite ability to crack Bitcoin privacy. I don't think Bitcoin was ever really designed to be private. The ledger is literally a history of all transactions. That ledger of all transactions is what, quote-unquote, cracked the case in this particular criminal case.
Well, I think it's tying
all those people together.
Those addresses to actual people is what they managed to do here. So, yeah, there was some kind... I think it was sort of like a Silk Road for child porn.
Yeah.
Which... Wow. When you're building that, because that's not a small project, does it ever go through your mind, it's like, wow, I'm kind of a bad person?
Probably not.
I mean, you know, U.S. senators. Krista, you are the only renter left.
I am.
In Level 1 Tex, and you've just moved into a new apartment with your nuptials.
Yes.
What if... Oh, and you, how's your dispute going with your...
My landlord? Yeah. They have reduced the charges considerably. After, the level of pedantic doesn't even begin to cover it, like the amount of documentation I submitted.
Did you pay?
I have to go pay Monday, but... I still have to pay him a little bit, but I figure it's fair now.
Like,
based on the new letter they sent.
They took your deposit.
They did.
I think you should continue fighting. You know what? You've already betrayed the people of Hong Kong in so many ways. I think the one way you can show solidarity with them is to keep fighting.
Keep fighting my landlord for reasons that somehow support China.
Well, you know, it's just in the spirit. But what would you do if the same landlord came along and said, hey, I'm going to need you to put a Nest or a Ring or even an Alexa in your home?
I tell them no.
Well, they're not taking no for an answer.
Your landlord turns your apartment into a smart home. Now what? Go take it to court.
Yeah, I think that tenants' rights are going to probably be upheld on this. Landlords, there's a couple cases of smart locks. Like, prominent security researchers had been subjected to lock upgrades from their landlord for smart locks. And the security researchers promptly hacked the smart locks and was like, look, I've got access to all of your facilities now. And they were like, ooh.
Well, there was that case in New York.
Yeah.
And they fought that on the grounds of, like, the protected classes, because somehow it was racist. I don't remember how it was racist.
Just something. I remember that now. I'm drawing a blank.
Anyway, this is going to come up more and more because I've also read about home builders. A lot of the cookie-cutter McMansion-type homes that you're going to get are going to come with built-in Alexa or built-in appliances that have
Internet I've got things. A screwdriver.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be like the intercom. You know, like 70s houses had like the intercom system built in, and it's like, who Who wants that? And it's the same thing with like the ring and stuff like that.
My house has a central vacuum. It's actually kind of cool.
That was a very 80s thing.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
It required some upgrades because it hadn't been maintained since the 80s, but now it's actually not terrible.
We talk a lot about data leaks, and they're almost always bad because they leak personal details, which could lead to credit card fraud or identity theft. This one's a little bit of a twist on that story.
Data for a whopping 26 million stolen payment cards has been leaked in the hack of a fraud bazaar. So this was not a new hack of a retailer or anything like that. One of the places on the dark web where they sell hacked information was itself hacked.
Which is good, because now all those numbers are known and they will be turned off instead of being sold on the marketplace and abused. The most hilarious thing here is they used Krebs on Securities like web design and logo and stuff to lampoon and make their credit card sales site. It was called the Krebs Cards or something like that. I can't remember, but Brian's Club. That's what it was
Brian's called. Brian's Club.
But he works against that.
It's like my mom trying to remember the name for Gary's Mod. She calls it Charlie's Mode. It's not quite right.
We've talked a lot about, scientific studies, and we're in the age of technology, which is really bad for scientific studies because people are faking stuff, and you have to pay for them now, which is weird.
A lot of scientists don't understand how floating point numbers are stored in computers' memory.
Yeah, so this is the latest in problems with technology and scientific research.
A code glitch may have caused errors in more than 100 published studies. This was a Python library. Why? It turns out there were some bugs in the way that stuff was computed in a Python library, which a lot of scientists use.
So they figured it out because some professor built... this had to do with cancer research, and he was like, all right, I've come up with these numbers. Go and proof them and make sure they're real. He sent his lab assistant to do it. Lab assistant couldn't figure it out. I was like, wait, can you check my numbers and send it to somebody else? And then they did it. Everybody came up with something different because they were all using different operating systems. So,
oops.
It's bad, but you know what? These are definitely... This professor's a glass half full kind of guy because he was like, hey, the scientific process worked. We found the problem. We did science. It's all good.
He's like that professor that you kind of want to hate, but he's so chipper. It's like, wow.
Yeah. And he's not wrong, I guess. So that's good to find out. Crystal loves the Safari browser.
No, that's not true.
Oh, but you do.
I hate it so much.
You love designing for it.
It's the new IE.
Well, you'll be glad to know that not only do you have to build specific media queries just for that browser, but now it's also spying on you.
Oh, sorry. Apple Safari browser sends some user IP addresses to Chinese conglomerate Tencent by default.
Now, was this updated with Apple's statement? Because they issued... maybe it wasn't on this website, but Apple did respond to this.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that. Tim Cook probably...
But the response wasn't very good.
Yeah, no, the response was like, eh.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think about it?
It's not just Tencent. It's also Google, which really,
Before visiting a website, Safari may send information calculated from the website address to Google Safe Browsing and Tencent Safe Browsing to check if the website is fraudulent. These safe browsing providers may also log your IP address.
So both Tencent and Google have been well known to harvest some data?
Yeah.
And you're sending them data.
We need to check and see if this website is safe. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Google like freaking out because all of the ad block plugins in running through the whitelist and checking things, that was too slow? So you mean to tell me going halfway around the planet to check and see if a website is on a naughty list and coming back, that's fast enough. But checking a list in local memory, that's too slow?
Well, but they love that because this is a competing browser. They don't want Chrome to do that, but they're happy to let Safari do that with their service. It makes perfect sense. We talked about the Pixel 4 coming out. It has some interesting new features. One of them is a little scary, maybe.
Google Pixel 4 Face Unlock works if your eyes are shut.
Does
that look a great thing for spouses and law enforcement?
Or murder. Yeah. So Apple, in comparison, has the alertness detector. It won't do this on purpose. They actually spent time working on that to be like, hey, this could be abused. Google seems like they chose not to do that.
I wonder if they subjected test participants to different mind-altering drugs and at Apple. It's like, all right, let's test it on this person has got a blood alcohol level of 0.1. Let's see if it'll unlock their face. What?
On one hand, though, like in the particular scenario that you're describing, wouldn't you want it to unlock their phone in case they're trying to get a ride home?
I don't know. Like, how do you figure out the difference? Yeah. Machine learning.
But wait, why would you need to unlock their phone to give them a ride home?
They might need to call, like, an Uber.
They're trying to unlock it themselves.
But then you're spending their money? That's also a crime.
What if you're so incapacitated due to your crippling alcoholism that your phone is like, no, I'm not going to unlock it?
Yeah, that's the scenario I'm describing.
Because your eyelids are just too shut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could, like, just, you know, push them up. We've done some stories in the past about cameras in your home, and it was mostly the cheap Chinese IP cameras, which were unsecured and had microphones in them, and people could just search on the internet and find them and do horrible things. You might not expect that from your Nest, but you might be wrong not to expect it.
The voice from our Nest camera threatened to steal our baby. I can't even say that with a straight face. Have we entered the nonsense section? A father Googled Nest camera and hacked, found out that this happens frequently. So probably a credential stuffing account. They figured out the password to their Nest account. And somebody was watching their baby because, yeah, why not?
I'm going to steal your baby.
Who would want a baby?
That's a good question.
They're so useless. But, yeah, maybe don't put cameras in your home. Maybe that's a bad idea.
Cameras connected to the internet.
Now we have moved in the nonsense section. And we have two stories. And I love these stories. I love the opulence and wealth of these Middle Eastern countries. And just the insane things they do with it. It's one of my favorite things. And this headline is a real head-turner.
Facing unbearable heat, Qatar has begun to air condition the outdoors. It was too hot for the sports. We must fix that.
That's a good TLDR.
First of all, 116. Whew. Yeah. I don't think we've ever experienced, any of us have ever experienced 116 degrees.
It's a dry heat.
So the idea here was actually really good. Well, if you have unlimited money, it's really good.
Unlimited money and like just don't care about like anything.
What do you think the amount of refrigerant that went into the atmosphere?
Like you only care about your own comfort.
So they used a cascading cooling system, which like pumped out air conditioning from vents, but because the heat was so oppressive and heat rises, it actually stayed low to the ground and fell down the seating of the soccer stadium and ended up pooling in the field itself. So if you're sitting there, you have cold air rolling over you from the, you know, descending cold air, and if you're in the field, it's nice and cool down there.
And the stadium acted like a bowl to hold and contain the not hot air. And then the hot air at the top made a nice insulating layer where it was even more hot.
Although they do talk about it's not uncommon to have, if you have a storefront, you might have an air conditioner just blowing straight down. So people who stop to look in at your store can just, you know,
admire your wares.
Yeah, enjoy themselves in your nice air conditioning and look at what you have to sell. This is totally sustainable.
Let's just, you know, let's do that everywhere. Just air conditioners just blowing out. You know, dads across America are horrified right now.
And in Dubai, not to be outdone with absolute insanity when it comes to just spending all that money.
Dubai now has Nissan GTR and C7 Corvette ambulances. I was thinking about like,
thank goodness.
Oh man, right. I've got a head injury. I need to get to the hospital. And one of these shows up and it's like, I wouldn't even fit in the trunk.
Here's the thing about it. Yeah. There's no storage at all.
Where are you keeping your medical supplies?
I mean, you can't lay down. These are both two-seaters. The seats don't recline.
Well, you know, you don't want to look like a chump showing up at the hospital in anything less than this.
Though, I was trying to, like, maybe this is an EMS worker who's getting to you quickly to stabilize you while the Rolls-Royce ambulance shows up.
I was the only thing I could think of was the commercial from the IT Crowd. It's like 0118999.
They do look sexy though.
Three.
They look like something.
Look at that.
First responder.
Yeah. And they pointed out that several of their police cars are also supercars.
Well, that's, I mean.
So. Yeah, that makes more sense for a police car. I'm imagining, though, like showing up at not a crime scene, but like, you know, someone's passed out in the street and you like rush out of your car with your med kit and you're working on them and you see someone like touching your car in the back. It's like, hey, hands off.
Also, I'm thinking about, you know, old people. They have like knee problems and, you know,
yeah,
back problems. Old people getting in and out of a Corvette. It ain't good. Doesn't work well. These cars are low to the ground. So maybe just a publicity stunt, but they do look sexy. Chris, I couldn't help but thinking about you when I read this story because I know you love mushrooms.
Yes.
But we don't even know if this is a mushroom.
It's a blob. Paris Zoo unveils the blob, an organism with no brain, but 720 sexes. What manner of organism is this? I didn't see this.
They're not sure. Because it seems to be able to learn.
What kingdom?
Which, I got a little video over here. We don't know. So here's the thing, right? It can learn to eat different kinds of foods, and it can eat almost anything organic. If you cut it in half, it will heal itself, and then there will be two of them. But if you merge two back together, they've proven that the memories of the one will be in the other one.
Yeah.
As they merge together.
Is this like the thing?
Yeah, that's what they talk about. Yeah.
That's why they call it the blob. Well, they call it the blob after the movie.
Yeah.
So the thing is much scarier.
It learns to solve mazes and crazy stuff like that, and it seems to have a memory, it seems to have a learning capability. It seems like it's got some intelligence. So
where did it come from?
We don't know.
Antarctica.
No, for real. Like, where did they acquire this blob?
I don't remember where they said they got it from.
The countryside of France. You know, you go out for some fresh cow's milk, and then you pick up some blob.
It doesn't say.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, it's like, we know for sure it's not a plant, but we're not really sure if it's an animal or a fungus. It behaves surprisingly for something that looks like a mushroom.
It's terrifying. May be a mushroom, yeah.
I also don't understand where the 726 is
coming
from.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from.
This Reuters article is woefully short on details.
It's setting us up for the clickbait, and then it's not following through.
It didn't deliver. And it doesn't even have any good sidebar stories.
Anyway, the blob is pretty cool, and you can go to the zoo and look at it if you want to.
Do you want to make a trip to Paris?
To Paris. You can do some other stuff in Paris.
Just a few things.
Krista, again, I know how much you love mushrooms. So
the regular kind.
I thought about you.
Not psychedelics.
Yeah. How magic mushrooms can help smokers kick the habit.
They're doing psychedelics. Like, psychedelics have been a part of a lot of cultures since time immemorial.
Well, there's that whole, some people have that theory that, you know, apes on mushrooms. That's what we are. Because we were like, hey, are these good to eat? And then it was like, oh, I'm aware of myself. But well, I thought this was microdosing at first. It's not.
No. So we talked about the other night on the stream. Someone asked, like, if you could do any drug and not get in trouble for it, which one would you do? And I would stay far away from any of like the psychedelics because I've heard horror stories about them triggering like dormant mental illnesses, and I don't want to know what lurks beneath the surface.
But I think that's kind of the idea here. Is it's sort of a reset button, and that habit can be turned off in the reset. So, yeah, interesting. This picture isn't good because these people are smoking.
That doesn't make any sense.
Straight out of the 70s.
It's easy to find pictures of mushrooms, too. That was a disappointment.
Wow. Who are we calling out on that one? NBC? No, NPR.
NPR. Publicly funded.
Throwing our tax dollars away. Stupid stock photos. California has, you know, California is kind of the epicenter of the snowflake revolution. And a lot of people are going to bring that up for this story.
California's new law bans schools from starting before 8 a.m. because children are sleepy and don't learn.
You know, I mean, all jokes aside, I can totally get behind this.
Yeah, definitely.
Why do we start our day so early? Makes no sense. The sun no longer has the power over us, people.
Yeah.
We have the technology.
Yeah, I remember getting up like 5:30, 6 a.m. when I was in elementary school. Like, ugh. Never again, unless I absolutely have to.
Mm. There have been a lot of movies about people who think that the world has ended, but it really hasn't. Well, there was a Brendan Fraser vehicle for that, wasn't there?
The Village, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
And I guess Scientology kind of did their version of this, where it was just labor, prison labor. But we have the real thing here.
Dutch family waiting for the end of time has been found in a secret room. There's a picture.
Was there, the article I read didn't have a picture of the room. It just had a picture of the farm.
Yeah. It's like, that's weird. They disappeared. They didn't disappear. They were living in the walls.
There was a post guy who said that, like, he was like, this was on my route, but, like, no one was ever there, and I just never thought anything of it.
But
like,
he never delivered mail to it.
Yeah. He just was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't have a picture of the room anywhere in the video, are they?
Mm-mm. Just outside of it.
So, yeah. And here, the story gets crazier, because it was a family, but the patriarch was not the father of the family.
Yeah.
It was some other guy who had convinced them. And the oldest son, who was like 29 or something, right?
I think he was 25.
Escaped and went to a bar and was just drinking beer.
And casually mentioned it to the bartender, like, yeah.
And they thought he looked kind of weird because his hair was long and his beard was all like tangled and stuff. And they're like, sir, are you okay? And he's like, you know what? I might need help.
I got younger siblings at home. And there's some weird guy who says we can't leave, but I got out.
I wanted to get this beer in me first.
Well, I mean, honestly, wouldn't you want to drink after that?
Liquid courage.
You got to wonder what that's like. I mean, that's right up there. When I think of like modern horror, I always think about that girl from Cleveland who was like a sex slave for how many years?
Oh, yeah, like in the backyard of that house.
And, well, no, she was in the basement or something.
I thought it was just like in a shack in the backyard.
And she like broke her way out and ran over to the neighbor's house. And, you know, people were like right there the entire time.
Yeah, and just had no idea.
Nobody knew. And that seems like kind of like what's going on here, except it's a whole family.
And they were out in the middle of nowhere.
What do you think the story was that kept them there?
Probably the Mayans. Like, we'll find out next week.
Oh, 2012. Like, yeah. I bet that was like, oh, it's Y2K.
The and motorcycle gang?
The Mayan calendar. And everything's going to end.
We talk about, you know, dumb technology. And last week we talked about the shoes with holy water in them for $3,000. And it was like, oh, but that was sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Well, and it was third party. You know, the church didn't sanction it.
Right. And this one, I mean, this is
pathetic.
This is e-indulgences right here. And
Indulgences 2.0.
A lot of people should be raising a flag.
The Vatican launches a $110 click-to-pray wearable rosary. Now, this is the other article that made me think of Warhammer 40K, because it said if you make the hand motion, like,
the sign,
you know,
of the cross.
Yeah. Then it triggers the thing as well. And it's like, that is totally like magic or like Doctor Strange or Warhammer. It's like,
except the Emperor didn't want religion. So yeah, this thing, it's $100. Is there a subscription plan? I couldn't figure that part out. But they talk about it can do different kinds of prayers. And somehow it's supposed to teach you which one is appropriate for the given situation. It's really light on details. But yeah, $110.
Makes me annoyed.
I don't think that kids are going to go for this. Maybe this would be a gift from grandma or something, you think? Is that the audience?
Look, I'm grandma. I'm hip. You like the technology.
Also,
maybe new converts, I guess. I this is not my brand. So my brand of Christian, so I'm not sure.
What if you're like stuck, you know, like there's a killer looking for you and you're like, oh, I need Jesus' help. But your rosary's, the battery's dead.
Oh
man.
That'll probably be like a plot point in a B movie at some point. Prepare yourself.
That's gonna suck. Now, here in the U.S., we don't really understand the plot of this, but I think in our, you know, the analog for us would be, would you rather watch a TV channel that didn't have anything about Trump or impeachment on it? Because, I mean, I've really tuned it out. I don't watch TV, but I've tried hard to just ignore it because it's so much noise.
The Brexit-free news channel has been launched by Sky News. Engagement challenge. Tell us how excited or not you are about that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Brits in our forum arguing about this, but I honestly don't know if it's just like, you know, some people are really into it or you know, it's like the insanity here where everyone talks about
it. It seems like, from what I've witnessed from the Brits, they almost always have chosen a side, and they're very, you know, like fanatical about it either way.
My favorite sign from, I think it was from this article, was that there was a Brexit protester person holding up a sign that said, measure twice, cut once, with regard to cutting themselves out of the EU. It's like, oh, that's clever.
I feel like in the U.S., like, there's some people who've chosen sides, obviously, but like most people in the U.S. don't care
about, like, Brexit. You mean
not about Brexit? But I feel like just in general,
Trump in there.
I don't know. A lot of people, I know, just want to be left alone.
Oh, everybody's got an opinion. Okay, so the thing about it is, with Brexit, I feel like there's so much misinformation.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
I have no clue. I mean, I don't care. That's the problem. That's the biggest thing. But I've definitely seen good arguments from both
sides. Yeah.
It's also like the Blizzard HK stuff. Like, there's so much propaganda there from both sides. It's like, I don't think the people in Hong Kong really want true separation. I think it's the two governments, one thing, which has been promised in their constitution since the beginning. But like the subtlety of that, it would take a long time to explain it.
I don't know. Those cops wearing plain clothes and shooting people?
Yeah.
That's a little black and white.
That's not really gray.
Yeah. Anyway, you can tune out. You can stick your head in the sand if you want to. Once this channel starts up. One of the big political things that we're going through here in the U.S., and I guess it's more of a debate here because other countries, they've just gone full socialist, but it has to do with big CEOs and the fact that they make amounts of money that we can't even dream of. You know, like, we can't even comprehend how much money Zuckerberg makes. Yeah, we understand the numbers, but we really don't understand how that changes your life. And some people have a hard time defending those kinds of numbers.
Telstra chairman defends CEO, saying kids earn millions on Fortnite.
Maybe like five kids?
let me update this headline for you. Telstra chairman defends CEOs, saying that lottery winners earn millions.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, the kids from Fortnite, you know, people are willingly giving them money because they're getting something. They're getting entertainment, right?
Yeah, and that's a short-lived thing anyway. Like, the kid's only going to be so good for so long.
Well, that's probably true of CEOs as well. Although they do seem to hang on well.
They hang on a long time.
Yeah, that's true. But this is where, you know, I mean, someone else built the company, and then you came along. And it's kind of autopilot in some cases, and you're making a lot of money.
One of the people from last week said that we ought to make a Seize the Means of Computation t-shirt.
So this is Australia, but that's universal, right?
The most disturbing thing about this was that it's a telecommunications company. That's like it's water company CEO down. Is like, no, I should be making $70 million a year. I'm the water company CEO. Without me, you're gonna die. The human body can't deal without water for more than a day.
It's not like this stuff falls out of the sky. Esports is hot. Krista has abandoned her hopes of esports.
Yeah.
Her dreams have crashed into the mountainside.
I don't really play competitive mode anymore. I just play quick play.
Yeah, you just play just enough to crush the dreams of Hong Kong. But
they're never going to be free.
I'm learning how to run a master prison in prison architecture.
One people, two systems, Krista.
They're going to need those prisons in China when they take all the protesters.
But mine are like super great though, because I always do the pacifist warden.
Oh, I'm sure they'll love
that. He has a calming effect. I do education programs. Like, I'm all about
re-education programs.
just education.
This is the...
They get books in their cells, showers in their cells.
Krista, in this prison, why is this room labeled the Clockwork Orange Room?
Don't worry about that.
Well, esports, when we were kids, esports was what they told you would never happen because playing video games was a waste of time. And yeah. It was never, which was weird because playing video games was a waste of time, but playing basketball could lead to millions.
Or football, head injury.
And the world has changed. Time has marched forward, and we have this crazy headline.
This small Pennsylvania school wants to be the Notre Dame of esports. And it goes on to describe what I would call child exploitation.
You know, what's interesting is the NCAA they have that whole debate going on right now. Like, yeah. Should the athletes be paid?
Well, they use them in all their marketing material. They should.
It's a good debate. They pointed out that it was like Ohio State, I think, Ohio State is a massive sports school. It's like, you know, one of the top, and it's several different sports.
OSU is just Ohio's economy.
But they went into as an underdog against this team in what was like League of Legends or something, because these guys really are the best of the best being recruited, actively recruited as esports, which is interesting. And this is like a computer science technology specific school, so obviously you're going to pull in that kind of person anyway. A bunch of nerds who are really good at online gaming going on to esports careers.
I wonder if there's the kind of ostracization, like, between the jocks and the nerds. Now it's like the esports nerds and the opposite, regular nerds.
Like the basketball team.
Well, no, I mean, it's like there's a more delineation now. Like, the basketball team's just over here. No one cares about them. But now within the computer science department, we have, like, the all-star esports nerds that just, you know, go on all the dates and have all the social fun. And then you have the reject nerds that are just, like, the nerdiest nerds.
Yeah, I'm going to rain on your parade here and say that I bet the female ratio at that school is super low.
Probably not low. Probably not super high, yeah.
Yeah.
There might be a Gaguri on that team.
Well, the Telstra CEO, you know what he said about them making millions of dollars? Maybe he was right.
At least for one.
A six-year-old YouTuber has bought an $8 million property.
Wendell, you like stumbled as you said that, like you couldn't believe it, like, and you just felt all of our YouTube aspirations come crashing down.
No, well, no, I was trying to juggle the millions and billions. It's South Korea, and so it's 9.5 billion Korean won, which is 8 million US dollars.
Okay.
But yeah, six-year-old, I don't know.
This is another, well, they have two channels. They have a toy review channel, which the one guy here has that, or is he Canadian?
I don't know. Those are really popular, though, with kids. Yeah, like, all of them are.
He's one of the biggest YouTubers.
Oh, you're talking about, like, Ryan's Toy Review or something?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. There's a bunch of kid toy review things.
But there's one that's, like, way above
all
the others.
They seem mildly exploitative.
And then there's also a vlog channel for the same kid, which has more subscribers, which is interesting. Now, they do point out that they've done some questionable things. Like, for example, they had a video where they faked this kid driving a car. Which they were like, wait a minute. So 30 million other kids are going to watch your kid driving a car. Do you think there might be some copycats? But it gets the clicks. You can't argue with $8 million.
We should show a clip of one of us driving a car.
Which is
big brain.
I wouldn't recommend. And finally, you know what? I wanted to try and reproduce how much everybody loved that cat last week.
So you found another article.
But I feel like this one falls woefully short.
It does.
The
Alaska Fat Bear Contest declares a winner. But so from the front here, this bear doesn't look very thick.
You know what? This is like an Instagram bear. Because, yeah, from the front, she looks, you know, slim and sexy.
Scroll down here, though.
Look at that.
THICC. Get your mouse out of the way so they can really appreciate the fluff butt.
So this is, they have this.
They have a bear cam.
It's a contest they do every year, I guess, to see which bear gets the fattest. But it's actually voting, so I don't think it's actually, you know, like.
They don't actually weigh it, like trank it.
It's a popularity contest. This bear didn't have cubs this year, so she didn't expend any of her fat raising cubs, but she did adopt an orphan cub.
Oh,
and I think that's what won the vote, not fatness.
Yeah, they were like, oh, she's a good person.
Yeah,
she's thick, but she's not as thick as this other bear, but she's way better person.
So
she's had some struggles this year, but she's pulling through.
most of her struggles were, you know, just like doing squats to get that thick ass going.
Yeah, the Bear Cam followers apparently were calling her Super Mom.
Oh. Was this in Alaska?
Alaska, yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah. And you can't go and watch those cameras.
There's nothing else to do in Alaska, so I could see why. It's like, you know, it's winter. It's, you get like 2 hours of daylight, and it's like, I'm going to watch the Bear Cam.
Krista, I think alcoholism is something else to do in Alaska.
It's true. Forgot about that.
All right, that's it. That's all we got. We'll see you next week.